I suppose all of us would answer the same way if we were asked the question, what is the strongest power on earth? We all would probably say, well, God. And certainly that's the answer. John chapter 3 and verse 16, a verse that almost everyone within any religion knows about. For God so loved. And what that really means is, God loved so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God, we all know about it. We're all grateful for it. And yet it's not within human reasoning to understand it. In order to help us understand the power of God's love, let's talk about some other powers that we know about. There are many powers in nature. We've all seen storms with howling wind, lightning, thunder. We've seen hail and the damage that it can do. We know about floods and how the water can just wash everything in its path. I remember several years ago when I was a young reporter working for a newspaper in Portsmouth, Ohio, there was a tornado that came through that area, killed 4 people. And in the aftermath of the storm, when everyone was out kind of picking up the pieces and we were there taking pictures and interviewing people about the storm, I remember seeing 2x4s that straw had been driven into like nails by the power of the wind. Imagine that. Wind so powerful that it could drive straw into a piece of wood. Between my graduation from high school and my entering Berea College in the summer of 1960, I spent the year in Korea with the Future Farmers of America organization. We went over on a tanker, a ship, because it was filled with supplies and livestock for the people of Korea. It was a gift from the Future Farmers of America across the state of Kentucky. One boy from each of the 9 districts was chosen to make the trip. And I have no idea how I was chosen, but I was. We left from Pensacola, Florida. We went through the Panama Canal. And we'd been at sea for 3 or 4 days. And the bunk that I was staying in was on the 4th deck of this tanker. Another boy shared the room with me. And our beds were metal pieces that were fastened to the sides of the wall, and you let them down and that became your bed. Had a little thin mattress that you rolled up when you put those up during the day. And we were asleep, and about 3:30 in the morning, I am thrown out of my bed, he is thrown out of his bed, into a floor with about 4 inches of water. Now, we're up 4 decks on a freighter. We were in the throes of a typhoon. That's what they call them in the Pacific. And it was so powerful, that ship was rocking from side to side. And we were being thrown all over the room, and the water was blowing into the portholes. And I'm an old country boy from Eastern Kentucky, had never experienced anything like that. I really thought I was going to die. And I was keenly aware of the power of nature. We're told that if man could harness one lightning bolt, there would be enough electricity to keep a city the size of Los Angeles going for several days. Imagine that. One lightning bolt with enough power to take care of a city the size of Los Angeles for several days. There are great, great powers in nature. All of you, I'm sure, know about the Amazon River. It's the largest or the longest river in the world. It's over 4,000 miles long. It starts high in the Peruvian mountains of South America, and then it winds its way across that nation and empties into the Atlantic Ocean. There is so much water pushed through the Amazon River that there are seven other rivers that go off of the Amazon, and each of them is more than 1,000 miles long. Can you even comprehend the power of that much rushing water? That the Amazon could be 4,000 miles, and off of it there are seven rivers more than 1,000 miles each because of the thrust of that water. Many years ago, there was an experienced sea captain who, as far as he knew, was hundreds of miles from land. And being experienced, he recognized that the water they were in was a different color. It was a lighter color than the ocean around them. And he knew, based on experience, we are in fresh water out here in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. When the fresh water mingles with salt water, the fresh water rises to the top and therefore changes the color. Well, he was intrigued, so he turned his ship and began following this changing color of water. And so far as we know, he was the first man ever to see, first white man ever to see, the Amazon River. The Amazon River is so powerful. When it pushes into the Atlantic Ocean, it pushes fresh water for 200 miles. Now, can your mind comprehend that kind of power? I can. A river running into the ocean, and the river is so powerful that it actually pushes fresh water for 200 miles. Yes, there is a lot of power in nature, but it doesn't come close to the power of God and His love. Beyond the powers of nature, man has created many powers. My daughter and her family used to live in Melbourne, Florida, about 40 miles from Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, now Cape Kennedy again, where the rockets are launched into space carrying the space shuttle. And we've been at our daughter's home a couple of times during one of those launchings. And you can see this huge billow of white, what I would call smoke. It's actually vapor that rises far into the sky as far as the naked eye can see. We're told that when the shuttle is mounted on the launch pad and is ready to be launched, that it weighs 4.1 million pounds. Now, try to imagine the thrust that would be needed to lift 4 million pounds. And not only to lift it, but to hurl it beyond the Earth's atmosphere into space. I can't even fathom that. I can't even fathom that kind of power. And yet that power is a firecracker compared to the power of God. We know about nuclear bombs. We know the history of World War II, even if we're too young to have known about it personally or known people who served in World War II. We know the history. We know about the atomic bombs that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And they tell us now that they have bombs that you can literally carry in your arms that are 1,000 times more powerful than either of those bombs. Cannot imagine that kind of power. What about the computers and the world of technology? We can't even comprehend the power of the internet and how laptop computers can put us in touch with people all over the world. And it changes and gets better and stronger and faster all of the time. There are many powers in nature. Man has created many powers that simply boggle the mind. We can't begin to really understand. And yet, brethren, what we need to always remember is that all the power of the Amazon River and the power of the lightning bolts and the thrust that will carry 4 million pounds into space is nothing compared to the love of God. Now, you and I know the power of human love. We do. We understand that. We know what it is to fall in love with a girl or a boy. We know what it is to be married and to have love not only for our spouse, but for our family. If you're a grandparent, you certainly understand love. When you hold your grandchildren in your arms, I mean, there is no stronger love imaginable to us than that. So we know about love. The love of a mother can heal a hurt knee or a scratched arm. A child will fall and injure himself or herself, and they run to mama, and you know, mama fixes it with a kiss. The power of love. Even pets. Sometimes we just fall in love with our pets. I don't happen to like cats. If you do, I apologize. I don't like cats. I love dogs. And I've always had a dog. We have a dog now. My wife says that my dog is the dumbest dog in the world. I continue to hold out hope that there might be one dumber somewhere. Her name is Sugar. Her father was an Australian, mini Australian dog, and the mother was, tell me, Collie. Border Collie. And I might have that backwards. She's half Border Collie and half Aussie. And my dog will come up and jump on me, and I'll rub her old head and I'll say, Sugar, you ain't worth a plug nickel. You're the dumbest dog in the world. And she'll go, well, I wouldn't feed you. You're not worth it, you old stupid dog. You ought to go somewhere. Love. Love. We know what it means to have feelings that just are so powerful. We used to have a dog named Sheba. She was a Border Collie, miniature Border Collie. And our children grew up with Sheba. She was a family pet, and yet Brian, our son, he and Sheba kind of had this special thing going, and she was really his dog. And wherever he went, riding his bike, on his skateboard, jogging, didn't make any difference. Sheba was right there with him. We don't allow pets in our house, but somehow Sheba spent a lot of time in Brian's room. And you'd go in there, and Sheba would be laying down, and Brian is laying on her using a pillow. Just a special connection. Well, Sheba got old. She got sick. We had surgery, and it finally got to the point where they told us we had to put her down. My son and I went down to the vet, and Brian took Sheba an Oreo cookie because she loved cookies. And we went in, and the doctor said, you know, you can go ahead and try to feed her the cookie. We hope that she'll respond. And Brian went over there and petted her and talked to her, and she didn't acknowledge him at all. She had no interest in the cookie. And the vet said, it's time to put her down. And I can still see the pain in the eyes of my son, because his beloved pet had to be put down. Well, we all cried. We buried her in the backyard. You see, love. We understand the power of love. A boy falls in love with a girl, and he'll do things because she wants him to that he never would have done otherwise. You want to go somewhere and see some ballet? No. You want to go with me? Yeah. We know what it is to be in love. We know the power of love. We know the tug of our husbands and our wives and our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our neighbors. We understand love. But you know what? None of that even comes close to the way God loves us. I want to read some passages tonight that will help us understand the power of God's love in our lives. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, a passage that you're all familiar with, Paul, speaking by inspiration, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, if we are really honest with ourselves, and we were in control of destiny, we probably would never allow the people we live to die. We just don't want to give them up. And no matter how long they live, it's not long enough. But you know why God gave Jesus up? For my salvation. Me. Jesus Christ died for me. And of course, He died for you and you and everyone in here. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, we get a little better look at how much God loves us. Because it says, before the foundation of the world, God put all spiritual blessings in Christ. When did God love us? Before He ever created the world and mankind. When did God decide that He loves us so much that He would offer the gift of salvation through His only begotten Son? Before the foundation of the world. When we are, as young people, about to become parents, and especially the mother, we have some idea how much we're going to love a child. I mean, we just kind of know. And then when the child comes, it's like 1,000 times better than we ever imagined. But you see, we knew that child was going to be born, and we probably knew if it was going to be a boy or a girl. God, before He created us, knowing full well that we were going to be sinners, said, I love you so much. I don't want to have to punish you for your sins. So I will provide the payment. I will pay the ransom. I will provide the sacrifice for your sins. My mind can't even begin to appreciate that kind of love. In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, we're told that scarcely would a righteous man die for someone who is good, but that God demonstrated His love to us, that while we were yet sinners, He gave Christ to die as our sacrifice. I could name some people and ask if you'd be willing to give your son or daughter or anybody in your family to save. And I dare say we probably would not. Is there anyone here who would have given your son to save Osama bin Laden? I don't have that kind of love. When I heard that man had been killed, I thank God. I really did. But you see, God's love is on a whole different plane. It's way beyond human love. But the closest we can ever come to understanding that love is to, first of all, understand how much we love as humans. How love just lifts us up, makes us happy, gives us enjoyment, provides contentment. But I love according to people I like and don't like. And God says, I don't make any difference. I want everybody, even Osama bin Laden, to be saved eternally. Now, I'm convinced that God was not pleased with Osama bin Laden as a person, but just like He's not pleased with sometimes us. Not on the same level, but it's the same principle. God's love is so great that you and I have the promise of salvation. Other thing about God's love is it's everywhere. The question is asked in Romans, beginning in verse 35. What can separate us from the love of Christ? And then he mentions powers, principalities, things of earth, death, all of the things that we would consider hardships. None of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. Let me show you how easily the love of man can be interrupted. Now, you don't need to hold up your hand. I'll see your wife give you one of these and I'll know that I'm right. You know, I love my wife dearly. But when Kentucky is in a double overtime, down 1 point with 30 seconds to go, that's not a good time to have a conversation with me. And if she tries, all that love that I have for her is probably set aside. We understand that. God's not like that. That's not God. If that was God, you and I would be toast. God says, I'll forgive you. How many times, God? What did Jesus tell the disciple that asked that question? He said, should I forgive as many as 7 times? And Jesus said, 7 times 70. And I don't believe that's a real number as far as how many chances we get. But it demonstrates the love that God has for us. And the whole point of this lesson tonight is that you and I ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to be the most contented people in the world. We ought to have less anxiety than anybody else in the world. We ought to appreciate every day of life more than anybody else in the world, because we know about the love of God. Read with me a verse from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now we're going to read some more, but let's stop here for just a moment. Notice, He has delivered us. He has translated us. He has moved us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of what? His love. Do you and I understand that we live in a kingdom of love? We live in a kingdom of love. Because it's Jesus' kingdom and He is love. The next verse says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things we might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Why should we be so happy? Because we don't live in this kingdom of darkness. We don't live under the power of darkness and sin and death. We have been translated by the blood of Christ, and we now live in a kingdom of love, a kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of reconciliation. And we should not allow the world to beat us down because of the love of Almighty God. Remember the verses in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7? It says to be not anxious for anything, but we are to meditate on God and His love, and the peace that passes understanding He will give to us. What does that mean? Peace that passes understanding. Peace that's beyond human reasoning. When I give God myself and I live every day in His kingdom of love, God says, I don't have to be anxious. Because God is there to give me a peace that passes understanding. The kind of peace that when Paul and Silas were in jail in Acts chapter 16 and they were praying and singing unto God. The kind of peace that Peter had when he was in Herod's jail, chained to two guards, with two guards at the door. And when the angel went to get him, he had to wake Peter up because he had such peace. The peace that Stephen had when he was being stoned to death, thrown upon by the Jewish people who wanted to shut him up. He saw the image of Christ and he had a peace. Now you and I are not going to see the image of Christ in the sense that Stephen did, but we see the image of Christ every day right here. I see the image of Christ on little old ladies that come to service on a walker. I see the image of Christ when I see these little children who are so innocent, so perfect, running around happy and unconcerned because they know there's someone to take care of them, mommy and daddy, and we have someone to take care of us, God Almighty. We know that the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the great chapter on love. And if you and I could even begin to appreciate the kind of love that's talked about there, that it believes everything, that is, it gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't hold grudges. It doesn't puff itself up above other people. But it's long-suffering, it's kind, it's forgiving, and it lasts forever. Brethren, the strongest power on earth is the love of God. And when you and I understand the human love and how powerful it is and how important that is to us, it's just a drop in the bucket to see the love of God. I want to tell a story that I'm sure I've told here before, but it perfectly illustrates about love and peace and harmony and contentment. I knew a family in Berea who were members of a denominational body that used to bring a child home from one of the orphanages that that particular religion sponsored. And they would generally keep them over the holiday season, like Christmas to New Year's. And she told me once about this little boy they brought home. He was 8 or 10 years old, I don't remember. Didn't know who his parents were. Had been left on the doorstep of the orphanage. He was very quiet, bashful. But he came home with them, and they had a cookout, and he ate hot dogs and French fries and hamburgers and drank Cokes, and he just thought that was the finest thing in the world. That evening, before he went to bed, they offered him a snack of milk and cookies. And she gave him some Oreo cookies and a glass of milk, and he munched them down, ate, drank his milk. She didn't even ask him. She gave him some more cookies and another glass of milk. And he ate those and drank the milk down. It's time to go to bed, and she asked him, would it be okay if I read you a story? And he said, sure, that would be fine. And so she was reading him a story, and when she got done, she said, would it be okay if I gave you a big hug? And he said, oh, that'd be fine. And she was kind of a healthy woman, and she just wrapped this little boy up and just held him next to her breast. And she said, he began to cry, and I could feel his body kind of shaking. And the longer I held him, the more he cried. And said, I kind of held him back and looked at him. I said, honey, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she said, the tears were flowing down his face. And he said, 2 glasses of milk and a hug. This is the greatest day of my life. Think how many times that little boy had wanted that second glass of milk and it wasn't there. How many times he went to bed at night or even during the day so desperately wanting somebody just to hold him. You know how much God loves us? He's our 2 glasses of milk and a hug. He can provide everything we need, and He wants to, in this life and in the life to come. If you're not a Christian, please, please consider the most powerful thing on this earth is the love of God that wants you to be saved. If you are a Christian and for some reason you're not happy, life has just turned you aside, and you need the prayers of this church, please, please, let us help you while we stand and sing.